I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 13. There are so many powerful lessons in the Old Testament about things that can help us understand our responsibilities and duties while we are here on earth. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, this is not very long after the children of Israel had decided that they wanted a king. And they gave two reasons for that. Number one was that they wanted a king because Samuel's sons did not walk in his ways and he didn't want them to judge over them. But really the main reason they wanted a king was to have one to go before them in battle and one that could lead them and one that they could physically see. And I believe from my study of Old Testament history, one that they could blame. But they really wanted it to be like everybody else. And so God told Samuel to hearken to their request. But before he hearkened to their request, he was told to tell them where the king would lead them and what they would do. And so he tells them, and at the end of that speech in 1 Samuel 8, they say, "Yea, but we will have a king." And so Saul is chosen. Now he is from the tribe of Benjamin, one of the smaller tribes, and yet he is given the position of being king over God's people. And in 1 Samuel chapter 13, his first test in that capacity is given to him by Samuel when he is told to go to Gilgad, and he is to wait 7 days. At the end of 7 days, Samuel will come there, and he will make the sacrifice that they might petition God in the battle against the Philistines. But Samuel delays for whatever reason the scriptures do not tell us. And at the 7th day, when Samuel was not there, Saul decided that he would go ahead and call for the burnt offering and he would offer it himself. And when he was called upon the carpet, so to speak, for doing that and why he didn't wait for Samuel, he gave the reason that the enemy was surrounding him, the children of Israel were getting scattered, and he compelled himself, or he made himself, to do that which God told him not to do. Now I want you to look at verse 13 and 14, and I want you to look at what Samuel told him. It says, "And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord, your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept the Lord's commandment.'" And so Saul had a great potential. He had the ability to be a king, and that God would establish his seed forever, and his potential for greatness and for good that he could do was great. And yet he squandered it. Why? Because he failed to keep the commandment of the Lord. I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. And I want you to look down with me at verse number 12. As the kings continue, after Saul, of course, came David. David was a man after God's own heart. He's the one that was anointed to take the place of Saul. But after the death of David, the second king of the United Kingdom, Solomon, his son, Bathsheba, his mother, is now the third king of the United Kingdom. And he is very young. And so the Lord appears to him in a dream. And he tells him that he will give him whatever he requests. Whatever he gives as what God can do for him, it will be granted. Now you think, if you're a young man, and you think that you've been made king over this great people, and all the things that Solomon could have asked for. He could have asked for riches, he could have asked for the death of his enemies, he could have asked for power and alliances that no one would be able to stand before him, and he could ask for long life. He asked for none of that. Look at what he did in verse 12. It says he asked for wisdom. And in verse 12, "Behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall there any like you arise after you." Do you notice that he is given wisdom to be able to discern, and he is going to be the wisest man who lived? There will not be one like him that will come after him, nor has there been one like him after. And so we would say that Solomon had great potential. He had the potential of being the greatest king that the world and God's people have ever known. He had the same opportunity that Saul had. He had the potential of doing great and marvelous works for God. But neither of them ever reached their potential because they failed to understand the value of following God and reaching out to their full potential. The fault was not God's, the fault was their own. They had all the tools, they had the opportunities, they had the abilities, but they fell short because they did not reach their full potential. And so tonight, I want to talk to you for a few moments about potential. It is a terrible thing to waste. Every one of you in this audience tonight have potential. There is something that you can do that no one else can do. You have potential in your life to do great things for God. You have a potential to do things in life that will bring great honor and glory to God. But more than that, you have a potential that you can prepare yourself for an eternal home with God in heaven. The possibilities are endless. The things that you can accomplish in your life, the things that you can do for the cause of Christ, and the things that you can do to further strengthen the kingdom, and that you can do to strengthen your spiritual life, your potential is unlimited. But what do we do with our potential? Do we use it or do we waste it? Now think of the potential of combined cooperative efforts. Think if everybody united together behind a common goal. Think about what could be done when everybody is on the same page spiritually. When a church is all pulling in the same direction. When they're all striving to fulfill God's will. When they are using their potential to the fullest extent possible. When they are doing everything they can for the furtherance of the kingdom of God, for His work, and in their capacity and the opportunities that they have. Think about what can be accomplished. Look in the scriptures of what was accomplished by a few people. And think about all the potential that every congregation of God's people have throughout the face of the earth if they all use the potential that God blessed them with. Can we and should we? Let me begin by defining what we mean by potential. Potential is a capable of being but not yet in existence, having possibility, capability, or power, the inherent ability or capacity for growth and development. I want you to notice the last part of this definition. The inherent ability or capacity for growth or development. In each of us, we have the potential to grow. We have the potential to be strengthened. We have the potential to do more things for God as our knowledge increases. As our abilities are established and as they're perfected, we have the potential of doing many good things for the kingdom of God. And so we have this inherent ability that we can develop and we can grow. And we also understand that we have control over our beliefs, our attitudes, and our actions. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of things that the world can do to you. They can discourage you. They can lead you down the wrong road. They can mistreat you. They can misguide you. They can do a lot of things. And Satan can lay many snares and traps in front of you. And the road can sometimes get bumpy. But I want you to remember that they cannot, nor has God ever gave them the capacity to destroy your personal potential. None of that has the ability to do that unless you allow it to be so. You have to help the devil defeat you. You have to help anyone that would discourage you, lead you in the wrong direction, cause you to grow weary. You have to help them to accomplish that in your life. It cannot be done by them alone. We have control, and we need to make our own choices that we might reach our full potential. Now, we need to ask some questions. What keeps us from reaching our full potential? What keeps us from being all that we can be? What keeps us from doing all that we can for the kingdom of God? What keeps me from being the kind of Christian that would be something that was pleasing to God, beneficial to His service, and an asset to the local church? What can keep me from reaching that? We want to talk about that for a few moments tonight. And number two, how can our actions, past, present, and future, limit our potential? We will endeavor to answer these two questions tonight. And I think if you will study along with me, you can see that the ability and the opportunities that you have within your grasp are something worth striving after, are something that you need to focus on, and something that you need to understand that you play a role. You have heard me say many times in this pulpit that as a body, we are only as strong as our weakest member. And our potential as a congregation is determined by each and every member of this body. Every member of this body either increases or decreases our potential for doing the work of God in this community. And it's more than the elders, it's more than the deacons, it's more than the preacher. It's all of us working together to reach maximum capacity of each of our potential. And I want to tell you tonight that all of our potentials are not the same. Each of us have within us inherent abilities and talents and opportunities that are unique to us, that are not unique to other people. But that's really not a problem. Because if we work together and we pull together and we're going in the same direction, we can have unlimited ability to do the work that God put us here to do. And so I want to talk for a few moments about why we sometimes don't live up to our potential. And potential is a terrible thing to waste. I want to begin by telling you that we only have limited control over certain things. There's certain things in our life that we have limited control over. Number one, we have limited control over our circumstances. You know, I was raised by my mother and dad, and I really didn't have a whole lot to say about it. I didn't have to say if I wanted to live in Indiana or I wanted to live somewhere else. That's where my parents lived, and that's where I was raised. I have a great deal of love and affection for that state because it's my home. It's where I was brought up. But you know what? There were many circumstances in my life that I didn't have any control of. There were things that happened in my life that I wish had not happened, but they were taken out of my hands, and there was nothing I could do about those circumstances. But ladies and gentlemen, even though the circumstances I have little control over, I do have a control how I react to them. How I react to those circumstances and those things that happen in my life. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations that are less than ideal. That are not as maybe what we would rather have it to be. Maybe not everything is like we would want it to be. That can happen, and that can happen due to nothing that you have done. What do you do about that? What you do about it is you rise above your circumstance. You rise above your situation. You rise above your circumstance. And you can still do great things with the potential that God gave you. Sometimes we don't have any control or limited control over our environment. You know what? You can't make choices for people around you. You know, you can try to lead a good example. You can demonstrate love for other people. You can always do treat others as you would have them be treated in Matthew 7, verse 12, the golden rule, doing to others as you would have them doing to you. You can do everything in your capacity to treat others in a way that would be honorable, that would be right, that would be something that would be profitable, but you have limited control in how other people treat you in what environment that you may be placed in. But in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 44 and 45, the Lord says that we should pray for our enemies. We should pray for those who are our adversaries. And we should love them. That's what God tells us to do. We have to rise above our environment. As I told you this morning, there were many things that I learned when I went into the military that did not present a good environment. There were things there that I had to look at for what they were, and I had to make sure that I didn't fall in a rut or fall in the line with others just because that was the environment that surrounded me. And there was great temptation to just fall in and fit in. There was a great pull and a temptation that I might not call attention to myself, that I might just blend in. And so you have to fight that. You have to fight that, and you have to rise above your environment. We need to also understand that we have limited ability and control over our health. You know, you can eat right. You can exercise. And you can take good care. You can take vitamins. You can do all of that, and you can drop dead at 50 years old or 40 years old or 30 years old. Now, does that mean I shouldn't take care of myself because I'm just gambling anyway? No. But I'm saying even though I do all that, does not mean that I will not have to deal with health issues. Wouldn't we rather not deal with them? You know what I'm looking forward to about heaven? No diet. I don't have to count calories. I don't have to worry about walking and exercising every day. I don't have to worry about everything getting too tired. I don't have to worry about that. But you know what? I should worry about my health. God blessed me with this body, and I should take as good a care of it as I can. But even that will not tell me that I will not be beset by health issues. What do I do when they hit me? I go in the office for my yearly checkup that I get every May, and I just had all my blood work done. And I sit there in front of the doctor, and he says, I got good news and bad news. And the bad news is that I have some cancer cells in my body, and they're beginning to be activated. Do I have a pity party? Do I allow that to discourage me? Do I stop working for God and start worrying about my health, how long I'm going to be here? Or do I pray to God and let Him help me get through whatever I have to do? Whatever has to be done, do I pray for God to help me and to deal with it? And do I let my brethren pray for me and with me? You know, I got an email this morning from Brother J.T. Smith in Lakeland, Florida. He just went through two bypass operations. And he spent about 5 days in ICU. And he just came home and he sent a note to all that prayed for him. Because he knew that there's a reason why he was able to survive because of all the people that were praying for him. And you see, he didn't allow his circumstance of his health and this health problem to stop his desire to be faithful to God and to be a servant to God. And so, you know what? Age comes to all of us. And brethren, the longer you live on the earth, the more health issues you're going to have to deal with. And they can cause you not to reach your potential. Because you know what? You get tired. You get tired easier. You get to where you just don't feel like doing anything, and you can convince yourself that there's nothing you can do. And there's no profit, there's no thing of profit that you can do for the cause of Christ because you've got health issues. Ladies and gentlemen, I have seen men and women in the Lord's church that were battling terrible diseases, and yet they were some of the most effective and compassionate and commendable Christians, and some of the most encouraging men and women I have ever met. They did not allow those circumstances to destroy their potential. And we have to have that attitude. And you know what? We don't have control. We have limited control over our ability. There's things we can do, and there are things we cannot do. There's things that we are good at, and there are other things that we're not so good at. I'm not a song leader. I'm deaf in my left ear. I have no sense of tone. I couldn't lead a song because I wouldn't know how to pitch it high, pitch it low. I remember a number of years ago when I lived in Las Vegas, we had on the last Wednesday night, they had a singing service. And they were after me every month to lead a song. And I tried to tell them, you know, I'll do other things. I'll pray, I'll read scripture, I'll give the invitation, but I just can't do that because I can't set it. Oh, you can do it. Anybody can do that. Well, I practiced for a month. And the song I practiced was There's Room in the Kingdom. And I practiced and practiced that song. And the Wednesday night came and I led that song. And one of our song leaders was sitting in the back. And he was going like this. Which I found out later meant to speed it up. Well, I didn't know how to speed it up, slow it down, and stop it. And you know what? They never asked me to do that again. But you know what? I don't have to be a song leader to get to heaven. I don't have to be a preacher to get to heaven. All I have to do is use the ability that God blessed me with. And He didn't make all of us a song leader. He didn't make us all preachers. He didn't make us all teachers. And He didn't make us all with the capacity to teach publicly. There's no shame in that. But there is a shame if you have the ability and you have potential and you do not use it. Read Matthew chapter 25. Read the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents is not about how many talents they had. Was a five-talent man better because he had five? Was a two-man better than the one that had one? And was the one that had one talent less than the other two? No. Because the reason the one-talent man was not acceptable to God was not because he had one talent, because he had a talent and he did not use it. There are many of us who have limited ability because we have deemed ourselves to have such. We just convince ourselves that we can't do this and we can't do that. I need to do this. I need to do that. I'm not able to do that. I'm not able to do this. But could it be that we're not able and we can't because we won't try? Because we won't do the things that it will take in order to be able to do what we say that we can't do? Is it not because we don't have the ability, but maybe the problem is we don't have the desire? Maybe we don't have the desire to fulfill the full potential that we have. You know, I try to teach young people that they need to decide very early in their life about things that they could do for God. I try to encourage young married men and women to prepare yourself to be an elder and the wife of an elder. The Lord's church needs elders, and that's not something that you wake up on your 50th birthday and decide that you want to be an elder. That's not going to happen. That is something that you've got to start very early in life. That is something that you have to have a goal, a commitment of, that you're going to prepare yourself for that office. The same is true for preaching. You don't just wake up one morning and decide that you're going to preach. Or because you love to talk about God's Word, then that means that you'll be a good preacher. But ladies and gentlemen, it means that if you've been given an ability by God, then God expects you to use it. That's why He gave it to you. I remember in 1984 when I lived in central Indiana, the elders there tried to get me to give a lesson on Sunday evening for a year. And I just used all the excuses that Moses used. Not eloquent enough. I walk around too much. Too nervous. Talk too fast. Still do that sometimes. But you know what? I learned that I could learn to do better. And I learned that God gave me an ability. And for me not to use it would be a sin. I don't have to be the greatest orator. I don't have to be the greatest preacher. All I have to do is do the best I can with the ability that God gave me, and that will be enough. Ladies and gentlemen, you, every one of you in this audience, have ability. You have talent. You need to find what it is. And you need to strive. If you have the ability to be a five-talent person, then you ought to be striving to be a five-talent person. If you only have one talent, then use it to the glory and the honor of God. But use it. Don't bury it. Because then you will never reach your full potential. And you know, our opportunities are not the same. As a gospel preacher, I have opportunities that you do not have. I've been able to go over some parts of the world, and I've been able to preach in other places in the world. I wish some of you could go there and see what I see. I wish you could experience what I experience. I wish you could do that because I think it would give you a very deep appreciation for the power of the Word of God. I think it would give you a deep appreciation for how blessed and how lucky you are to live in this country. There are things that I've been able to experience by the opportunities that God has afforded me that's giving me a keen insight to how much I am truly blessed. You know, in some ways, I'm ashamed that I have so many blessings and there are so many of God's people in the world that have so few. And I need to be appreciative and I need to be humbled by that. But I need to understand that when God gives me an opportunity, that I have the responsibility to do something with it. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, it tells us that therefore if we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Ladies and gentlemen, you have opportunity that I do not have. There are people that you can reach that I cannot reach. There are people that you have enrolled with that I do not. There are people that have your credibility with them is much greater than me. They look at me as a professional person. I'm just a preacher. That's my profession. And I'm supposed to have an interest in them spiritually because I'm a preacher. Well, that's not true, but that's what they think. But you know what? That's not what they think about you. You live next door to them. They're your co-workers. They're people you go to school with. They're your friends that you grew up with. You have opportunity that no one else has except you. What do you do with that opportunity? What about your family? You have inroads in your family that I will never have. You have a relationship with them that can give you an opening in spiritual marriage that I do not have. What do we do with our opportunities? Do we reach our full potential or do we let them slide by? Ladies and gentlemen, an opportunity lost can never be regained. You might get it again, but then you might not. When you let it go by, it cannot be gotten back. And we have limited ability over the past and the future. I can't undo my past. Would I like to? Yes. Would I like to be able to undo the mistakes that I've made? Yes. Would I like to be able to undo the hurt that I have caused other people by my selfishness and my foolish choices? Yes. But I can't. I can't unwind them. And I went through an incident a couple years ago that reminded me if I could rewind the past, I would have done it, and I would have done it as quickly and as hurriedly as I could do it. But I couldn't. You know what I could do? I can learn from my past. I can learn to do better. I can learn to make better decisions. I can learn to make better choices in my life. And I can learn to see before I walk into something where it may lead me. I can learn from my mistakes. That's what God wants me to do. My future? I don't know what my future holds. Do you? You know what you hope it holds. You know, I remember when I was growing up, I wanted to live long enough to see my children grow, to see what they become. Now I want to live long enough to see what happened to my grandchildren. I don't know if I'll get to live to see what my great-grandchildren will do. But I want to live that long, but you know what? I don't know that. You know, I have a plan about what I want to do in my role as a preacher as I get older, as I reach the years of retirement. I want to still be able to preach, but I don't want to have to preach. I don't want to be able to be less capacity and less ability because I have to preach, because I have to make a living. I want to be able to have the ability to choose. But you know what? That may not happen. But you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. Because I'll let the Lord take care of that. I'll just do what I can for today and I'll let the Lord take care of tomorrow. And that's how we have to live our lives. And some of us don't reach our full potential because we spend way too much time in the past and we think way too much about the future and we don't deal with today. And this is the only time you have control of is today. Today is the day you have control of for as long as God allows it to go. But you can. You have limited control over these things, but none of them can restrict and determine your potential unless you allow it to. Unless you allow it to diminish it. It cannot. Now, we have complete control over some things. We have complete control over our purpose. What is our purpose? That's very easy. Our purpose is to obey God, to fear God and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And verse 13. That is my responsibility. My responsibility is to seek God, His kingdom first, and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to me. That's my purpose. My purpose here is to love God, to serve God, and to magnify His name before men. That's my purpose. Did Daniel understand his purpose? It says in Daniel 1 verse 8 that Daniel purposed in his heart. He determined that even in captivity, he was going to remember his relationship with God and he was not going to compromise his faith no matter what circumstances he faced in captivity. He had a purpose. We have a purpose. We have complete control over what is the focus in our life. What is the purpose of your life? You have control over that. You have control what your purpose is. And you know what? We have control over our attitudes. We have control over how we perceive things and when they happen. We have control over how we react to them. Read Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 through 13. You have control over the things that your attitude towards things, your attitude towards brethren, your attitude towards adversity, your attitude towards poor health, your attitude towards the things that happen in your life. You have control over how those things affect you. You have control of that. And you know what? A poor attitude will destroy your potential. It will do it quicker than anything else. And some of you who are older, you've known men who started out well and they developed a bad attitude about one thing or another and it destroyed them. You see, a bad attitude is something you can control. A bad attitude is something that is developed. You can develop a good one, you can develop a bad one. And a bad one will destroy your effectiveness in the kingdom of God. You have control over your values. What's important to you in life? If you were asked, what is the most important thing in my life? How would you answer? Your wife? Your husband? Your children? Your parents? Your job? Your possession? Hopefully it would have to be God, because that's why you have all those things. See, you wouldn't have relationships. You wouldn't have a hope of a home in heaven. You wouldn't have brethren. You wouldn't have the church. You wouldn't have the blessings of life. Without God, you'd have nothing. You know, it has always been difficult for the world to put God first. To say that He is the most thing that you got. That's been a difficult concept for men to accept. But you know why? Because they don't give God the credit for all that they have and all that they'll ever be. You see, we don't own anything. We're just caretakers. We're just stewards of God's blessing. We own nothing. That's why the writer Paul could say in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we brought nothing in this world and we'll carry nothing out. Therefore, let us be content with food and raiment. We need to understand that we determine our values. And ladies and gentlemen, your values have a direct correlation with your potential. If your values are not spiritually grounded, then your potential cannot be effective in the Lord's kingdom. If your priorities are not right, then your potential will never be reached. You see, when we read Matthew 6:33, it's in the context, it's talking about worry. About worry about food, about clothing, about shelter. And he uses an illustration as the lilies in the field. They never spin, they never toil, and yet none of them have the beauty of even the things that Solomon built. None of them are arrayed in such beauty. And when a sparrow falls to the earth, God knows it. The very hairs of your hair are numbered. You see, we don't need to worry about what we can't control, but we do control what is valuable. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I love my parents and everything they ever have done for me and the things that they continue to do for me. And I love my brethren. I love what they mean to my life. But ladies and gentlemen, hope in my heart that I love God more. I've got to love God more. And if I love God more, then I'll reach my full potential. Benjamin Franklin made this statement. Although we cannot control what goes on in the world around us, we can always control what happens inside of us. It is not possible to change historical events in our lives, but it is always possible to change how we perceive them, how we internalize them, and how we allow them to impact our behavior. I may not be able to change the world, but I can definitely change how the world affects me. I can change on how the things that happen in life and how they affect me and what they will cause me to do or not do. I have complete control over that, and so do you. We determine whether or not we reach our full potential. You are the only one in your life that affect your potential. Your ability to grow and your capacity to grow and the inherent ability that God has given you that you might be all that you can be in the kingdom of God, it is unlimited what you can do and what you can tap into if you do not allow the things that you cannot control to limit you, and you accept and you use properly the things that you do control. Then you can reach your full potential. Maybe you're in the audience tonight and you're thinking, well, preacher, that all sounds good. But what is my full potential? That's easy. You know what your full potential is? Your full potential is to do everything that God gave you the ability and the talent to do. If you have the ability to preach, that's what you ought to be doing. If you have the ability to teach and you have the capacity to learn to teach, to learn to be able to instruct, then you ought to be developing the ability to do that. If you have the ability and the qualifications of being an elder, you ought to be pursuing that work. If you have the ability to pursue the office of a deacon, you ought to be using that ability. That's the potential. And if you don't use it, then it dies with you. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, I know this. That someday, you and I will stand before a judgment seat. And we will give an account. And although we're all going to be judged by the same standard, and all of us are going to have the same standard by which our lives are judged, there is going to be a difference on how our lives will be judged. Because we're also going to be judged by the abilities and the opportunities and the talents that God gave us and whether or not we reached our full potential. Remember what Jeremiah said about preaching? He said, I wanted to remain silent. They were giving me so much grief that I wanted to remain silent, but the word of God burned within me and I could not keep silent. Brethren, if we have that kind of desire inside of us, we got to do something about it. And we've got to reach our maximum potential. Now, you know what? What about my goals? You have potential over what they are. What about your behavior? You have your ability over your behavior. And you have control over how the past influences you and how the future influences you. You know what? You can learn from the past or you can wallow in it. You can wallow in self-pity. You can remiss and you can be sorry and you can learn nothing from it. You can do that if you choose to do so. But you can allow your past to be a teaching tool. You can allow it to teach you and instruct you and refine you and make you better than what you were. You have the ability to do that. And you have the ability to not worry about tomorrow because you don't have it. What will you do with your potential? What will you do with the things that you have control over? And what will you do about the things that you don't have control over? Will you reach your full potential? You know what? The only person that can answer that question are two people. God knows the answer to that. And down deep within the resources of your heart, you know the answer to that. But I'm going to tell you, show you this in conclusion tonight. We will all be held accountable for using or not using the abilities which God blessed us with. You know what 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2 says? In the quality of a steward, he must be found faithful. A steward must be faithful. My question to you tonight is very easy. My brother and sister in Christ, are you reaching your maximum potential? Are you being all that you can be for the cause of Christ? Are you using the opportunities and abilities and the talents that God gave you? Are you bearing them like the one talent man? And maybe you have great potential, but because others will do it, you'll let them do it. Brethren, there's two wrongs there. The first one is all to do it themselves so you don't do it. And the second wrong is you have the ability of not doing it. Both are wrong and both will be held accountable to God. Now, I don't know whether you're a one-talent person or a two-talent person or a five-talent person. Maybe we even got a couple tens in here. I don't know. But you know what? You have talent. You have ability. You have potential. And all God wants you to do is very simple. Reach your full potential. If you will pray, if you will work, if you will trust God, then you will live a life that will be profitable and you will live a life that will be very effective in the kingdom of God. I have known many, many men and women in the Lord's church who in the eyes of the world are not very much. But in the eyes of God, they're some of the greatest people that ever lived on the face of the earth. Humble servants that did nothing more than what God blessed them with the ability to do. And brethren, my hope and prayer is that their tribe may increase. Because that's what the Lord's church needs. It needs men and women striving to be all that they can be. To reach the maximum potential that we have within our grasp. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you have the potential to lift yourself out of your circumstance. You can lift yourself out of sin. You can lift yourself out of this separation that your sin has caused between you and God. You can rise above your circumstance. And you can do that by hearing the word of God, because it will produce faith according to Romans 10 and verse 17. Jesus said, if you don't believe that He is the Lord, that you will die in your sins, John 8, 24. You have the ability to turn away from sin, to repent, to acknowledge your sinful condition, and to acknowledge that you want God to forgive you. And then you have the ability to stand before this audience and before a group of people and confess that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. With the heart man believeth, but with the mouth confession is made to salvation, Romans 10 and verse 10. And then you have the ability and the potential of submitting to water baptism, not as a rite, not as a ceremony, not for some power in water, but simply by obeying God when Jesus Christ himself said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not will be condemned, Mark 16 says. You have the potential within you to do that. And if you do nothing more, if that's only the potential you have in your life, if you have no more than that, but to be able to understand and discern and be a faithful child of God, then that's all God requires of you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're my brother and sister in Christ, and you have other potential, and you have other ability, God expects you to act upon it. God expects you to use it, and God expects you to use it for His glory and His honor to be effective in His kingdom, that you might aid the spread and the strength of His kingdom. You know why? Because that's why God put us here. He put us here to work, and He put us here to work in His kingdom. And He didn't give us all the same ability, but He gave all of us some ability. He didn't give us all the same talent, but He gave us some talent. He didn't give us all the role and responsibilities. He gave men a different role than He gave women, but He gave women and He gave man distinctive things that they could do for the cause of Christ. And God expects us to use that potential to the maximum level. Are you doing that? Or are you allowing others to make up the difference in your potential? If you are, God is not pleased, and your life is not pleasing in His sight. If we can help you reach your maximum potential tonight, we're here to assist you in any way we can, as together we stand and as we sit.